Okay, good evening. Gimel honored others. Let me actually just begin something completely. Want to see pick your brains here. Just see what you say to this. There is. Yeah, I know you're going to be wondering what in the world has this got to do with Eruvin, but there is a Rosh in the Sefer Brachos. Anyone remember this one? Right, going back 13, 14 years ago, maybe?
I
right?
I only got to pray. I don't know what they want to
say. Right? The first Rosh in the Masechta. And I was looking at this today and sort of propagating giving some sort of Chabura this evening. And basically, if you remember, the very, very first in Shah, Machwek Rashi and Tosfos was there, and all the Rosh is a big, big subject about davening Maariv before Nacht. So what's going on in terms of Kriya Shema? Rashi says you're not yet to that Kriya Shema, you're only doing it for the Lamed Tefillah and Tefillah Devitereth, like Sukkim of Torah before you daven. The Eka Kriya Shema is after night. Rashi seems to say when you go to bed, fine. And Tosfos says no, there can't be, or bundle of questions. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's because we're following the shit of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that from Plag HaMelech says Rezim Zman for Maariv. Okay, Tosfos learns that Maariv, the Tefillah and Kriya Shema go together. Other Rishonim disagree with that. Then Tosfos asks that that can't be either because but we're busy davening Mincha for Plag HaMelech is Tarsi Desasri, right? It's a contradiction in terms. So the Rosh actually answers that question. He says, okay, the Tefillah Hiklu, they were Mikul when it comes to Tefillah. Meaning to say, even though it's Tarsi Desasri, but they will make up when it comes to Tefillah. To say that even though you're treating it as Man for Maariv, no, you can still daven Mincha in that time. Tzedek is a special kulah. Then we get the shit of the Ri. The Ri comes along and says, no, really what's going on is we're relying on other shittas. There are shittas in the Gemara day who say the Zman of Kriya Shema is when the Oni comes in, or whether it's from Shkia, or right, B'nai Adam, the Knoss, there's different times in the Gemara which are late in the Plag HaMelech, but before Nach. Fine. So the Rosh asks on that, he says, but we didn't ask, he says the following. He says, even though, this is Loshen, the Afal Gav, and by the way, this is after the Rosh, I should have actually just put in, the Rosh has already said that this notion that Tosfos puts the two together, that Kriya Shema, which is Man Shechiva, and Tefillah, which is Toli on Yom HaNida, they get together, they're two different things. Just bear that in mind. Now he says like this. Listen to these few lines. I just want to see what you say to this. He says, even though Teret Hilchot Sokka Rabbi Eliezer, the Gabriel Rabbi Yeshua, when you got a Machlok, it's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Now Lachot can't be like Rabbi Eliezer. He's the one who says from Shkia. Rabbi Yeshua says at night. This is Mam Kriya Shema, yeah? So you can't go to Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua. But look at Rabbi Meir, the Gabi Rabbi Yehuda. When you go to Machlok, it's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says basically at night. Rabbi Meir gives an earlier time, but Allah can't be Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. They call Mokam, nevertheless, but Tfilah Hiklu, and Tfilah they will make who. The Gam Mitechad Dechak, no Agu Kak, it's also because we did this, it's only Mitechad Dechak, because the Tzibah are getting together for Mincha, and if they didn't say Kriya Shema and Dublin, you know, until night, people aren't going to wait, everyone's going to go home, it's going to be a big tirch getting them back together, and they wouldn't daven the tzibur. Therefore, Nagu are on to read Shema and daven before Tzitzah Bechodin, and they rely on these Tanoim, as I've explained, I'm just praising it now, it says, even though, yes, the Chatzchila, you should only read Kriya Shema after Tzitzah Bechodin, like the Star Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, who is Chodik on Rabbi Eliezer. The Madani Yom Tov asks over there, he says, what do you mean, Bitzfilo Hiklu? In Tefillah, their Mekel. This is a Kulah, even though really the Halacha shouldn't follow Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yishua, shouldn't follow Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. But Tefillah Hiklu. He says, I'm not talking about Tefillah here, I'm talking about Kriya Shema. Bishlam Tefillah, Nu Heim Omru, Deim Omru, Chazal has the right to do what they want. But I'm dealing with Kriya Shema, and in case you're thinking, ah, but maybe the Rosh holds that Kriya Shema is their Rabbanon, Tosfos does say such a shitta. He says, no, because the Rosh says later on, it's the Raisa. So when we pass it. So he says, what's Bitzfilah Hiklu? What does that mean? And you see, you may say, well, it's a borrowed Loshen, it really means Kriya Shema, but then what's your license? what's your license to be maker when it comes to Krishna? Right? Now, why am I sharing this with you?
So we know.
Yeah. I wouldn't have that much of a chutzpah to start bringing you Masechet Brachos for the little of Erev in just for the life.
Is there a Rabbi Yeshua here?
No.
I thought that.
I'll give you a clue. Again, I'm just wondering aloud. There is much more to it here.
Rabbi Shmuel, you said that Rabbi Shmuel lives in Halakha, one in Dinim and one is Mamon.
Do you remember we were discussing last week the dynamics of how Halakha works? Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Yeshua. So the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Yeshua said, but I want to be machmir like my shetter.
Yes.
And you had the Ritzvah there who said, well, he's not really sure what the halacha is. He didn't really know, Rabbi Yeshua. So he decided he wants to be machmir, even though Sofit de Rabban al Kulam, even though Rabbi Gamliel was quite adamant that there's no problem to alter the whole ship, but he said, I want to be machmir. We said, what do you mean you want to be machmir? You can't make up your own toes. If there's a halacha, sofik the rabban on the kulam, then that's the halacha, finished. What do you mean you want to be machmir? There's more in the ritual. So we said that it sounds like from the ritual that sofik the rabban on the kulam is not like a vadai, it means a sofik, etc. But at the same time, we were discussing this idea, what does it mean that Rabbi Yeshua says, I want to be machmir, rotsu lahachmir kishmatai, because that's what I held. You were telling anyone else that. I mean, you said you accept that the halakha is like Rabban Gamliel. But I want to be machmir. How does that work? So you said, well, it's such a muzzle, right? That I held like that, even though the normative halakha won't follow me, but I'm allowed to follow my shita. When I saw this, and I'm thinking about this morning, I think to myself, listen to the Loshen again. I didn't actually read these words, which is literally the line before. He says, "V'nira lekayim aminag." Right, we're trying to understand what's going on. Kriya Shema, we should be following. Stam Mishnah, we should be following. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi, we should be reading a Seisar Kechomet. It would appear to be mekayim the minag. She'onu, listen to this lashon. She'onu soiberim that we hold kishara tanoim like the other tanoim. She'matim and she'asa kriya Shema the Seisar Kechomet. Who put the time of Kriya Shema before Tzeisar Kechomet, right? We hold like that. He then said, and even though, who are they, by the way? Who are they? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir, right? That's who we're talking about. We hold like that. Then he says, but even though the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua, we have a cloud. Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We have clothing for this. So he said, even though the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, it's still a hiklu. And then he goes on, he says, even though really you should be machmeh, and you should be mach. And I'm thinking, that lashon sounds very familiar. I know it's the opposite way around. Yeah, I realise that.
That makes it much difficult to understand.
Oh, this is what I want to try and explain. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, that sounds a bit like what Tosfos said. Albeit the other way around. They wanted to be machmir kishmatai, like their shittah. That's not the halacha. But we want to be machmir, like how. Now, I understand that's being machmir. I understand. But again, I could still ask you, what do you mean you want to be machmir like your shittah? Are you telling me the halacha, you're accepting the halacha of Rabbi Gamliel or not? This whole notion of chumras today, I know we've been talking about this quite, before this, but also today, the whole notion that everyone's like to be machmir, what is the halacha? If the halacha is this, there's no need to be machmir. What are you being machmir for?
There is a sort of another shitter out there which argues with the halacha. And if you're being choshesh also, that's what people tend to do. They want to be choshesh for all the different possible shittas.
I'll tell you this, okay?
Yeah.
My favourite
chumrah. Isn't there another idea also that prevents you from breaking something? In other words, it might be quite easy to break, if you like. And by being machmeh, you're being sure that you're not going to be over something.
Okay, maybe I hit. Could be. It's like I say, my favourite one, that I think I may have told you this one, right? I just couldn't get over it at the time, right? There's, I think I told you, no, there's a halacha, there's a halacha when you give a get. So Mordechai brings a shetah. A shetah that he maybe is choshish for, that when you give over the get, they have to be dry. The ink has to be dry. Because it's got to be stuff which can't be forged, or because it's got to have kiyum. One reason or another, it's not a proper stuff until it dries. It's such a stuff. So this discussion when it comes to Sapras, or the Gabi Shabbos as well. If you write something on Shabbos, just perform it on Shabbos, but it dries after Shabbos, so you chayav or not. Shabbos is right the kiyum on Shabbos. The Menachas Chinuch talks about this, I think. So now, the Shabbos is the Gabi Stam. Let's say, where are we today? Tuesday. Thursday morning, you're leaning, and you know what you're looking at, you know, after spending a bit of time. So you're called up for Kohen, you come up, or he was definitely right. You come up, you get an idea, and you're looking at the table, you say, oh, stop! There's a letter there, it's broken! So they say, so what do we do? You say, no problem, as I always do, I carry with me my quill and my ink, right? Well, strictly speaking, if you've got a pyro, it's not a good one, but certain pens, strictly speaking, because I don't know like you to do this one, but okay, you take out your quill and your ink, Shem Kudosh HaSeh HaTorah, right, I just fixed it. So now the Valkyrie says, right, let's continue. Hold on, you're going to have to wait a few minutes till it dries. Right? Not yet a ksav. Is that correct or incorrect? And people are saying, like, come on, Thursday, ready, right?
Yeah.
So there's discussion about this, Rav Adya speaks about it. The Minhag was always no problem. Right? This is common practice, apparently, right? People carry on, that's what they do, fine. But there is discussion about it, it's not so posh. So here comes the crunch. There's discussion about it. But there was somebody who apparently, in the Briscoe dynasty, let's put it that way, apparently if I'm told, if you really knew the person, you'd understand where he's coming from. For every bar mitzvah he made, one of his children, he gave over his pair of tefillin. Basically, the new pair of tefillin had to have a new chumrah. Right? It was always, every time that he took for himself, and that's what I'm told. Mm. This was the last one, okay? So this one had to be a really good chumrah. Okay, what did he decide? He said, what happens if, let's take a word, Vayomer, right? So the Sefer writes the Vav, writes the Yud, then he's going to write the Aleph. Now, if you're writing normally, what's going to dry first, the Yud or the Aleph?
Yud.
Because the difference in time of writing, the Aleph and the Yud, we're talking about 5 seconds. And since there's far less ink in the Yud than the Aleph, the Yud is naturally going to dry beforehand. Well, at least it could. Any letter, potentially, if there's less ink there, could dry beforehand. Hold on. But in which case, it's not Kaseda. So he said to the Sofer who was writing it, he says, you're not to go on to the next letter till the first letter is dried.
Are we talking about Seder? What do you mean?
No, it's Tefillin. So every letter...
You said the Yud will dry before the Aleph.
Yeah.
But the Aleph comes after the Yud.
So that's a problem. Because the problem is, sorry, the other way around, therefore. But let's say Vav Yud. Sorry, I got the wrong way around. Okay, take it the other way around. Right. So the Yud will drive before the Vav. Sorry, it's before the Vav.
So it is Kaseda.
Okay. It's not Kaseda. Sorry, right. The Yud and the Aleph is Kaseda, not the Vav and the Yud.
Yeah. But the Vav dries after the Yud.
So the Yud dries first, in which case the Yud is going to be extended before the Vav.
But some of the Vav will dry before the
Yud. If it's not enough, it'll be possible. Again, you can make better examples. I was thinking the wrong way around that, and that's why I didn't pick a good example. You can pick an example which has much more ink in it, right?
But technically, the original letter, the first letter written, will dry before the second letter written. I know what the Rav's saying, because it's smaller.
The TS says, try it out. I'm telling you what. I'm just telling you what. And especially if you've just dipped the corners.
Well, that could happen with any letter.
So there's going to be more ink in the first letter.
Yeah.
So the second one's always going to
dry. Yeah.
See, that's what he decided. So what did the sofa do? You can't write. How are you going to write? I mean, what are you going to do? What, write a letter and then go away for 5 minutes and cut that? I mean, what? So he said, no problem. He wrote a letter, put it into the freezer, for 10 seconds, took it out, spread the next letter, like that.
What?
Quick drying.
What? In the freezer?
In the freezer, yes.
But why is it not Cassidron if it's eligible at that point? So what if it hasn't dried?
We're not getting into this shitter, there is this sard, it's a sard within a thing.
Yeah.
I'm coming to my point in a second. I mean, first of all, right, the person who dealt with it, I think it was a Moshe Oribloy, one of the big, he's the worst defendant he's ever had to deal with.
Right? It's a contemporary
issue. It's a disaster.
It's something that's a contemporary issue that was somewhere happening in this
district. Yeah, he's older, the person now.
It's the worst part?
The worst defendant he's ever had to, I don't know, ever dealt with.
The most difficult, you mean?
No, disaster.
Right.
If you write like that, and you
no, I mean, tying in the freezer.
Every letter's going to start peeling off. What you're trying to do, right? But my reaction was, hold on a second, right? And this is the point I'm just making is, and this person is a very hostile person. Don't get me wrong, sort of thing. But when you come up with these sort of chumras, right? Are you telling me no one in the history of Klal Yisrael has ever been Yotzei the Mitzvah Tefillin? You're the only one who's been Yotzei.
He wasn't saying that, was he? He just wanted Mitzvah Mitzvah.
Again, but if there's such a tzad, Ramosha is the one who says this about these things.
Yeah.
He says it cannot be
the whole community.
You're the only one in the entire world who's actually been Yotzei the Mitzvah. That itself tells you it can't be that that such a shitter is taken on. Now why not? Gesundheit, go find out. Right? It's a bit like when Reb Nosson Adler was asked by when the Chassid Sofer was asked by Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is it mutter to comb your pears?
Is it mutter?
Mutter to comb your pears. It's nothing to do with right coming out. Yeah. So what did the Chassid Sofer answer? He said it's mutter. I don't yet know why, but I know it's mutter. How do I know? Because the Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, it's his Rebbe, he did it. He used to comb his pears, but I know it's mutter. There's nothing to talk about, it's mutter. Now we'll try and work out why. It's got a good point. It's a nod, it's fine. Again, the very fact that no one has ever heard of such a thing, right? It can't be, right? Now again, I'm not, without getting into the whole thing of chumras, this Israel's got a good point, so sometimes it's acts of the sacred, fine, I hear. There are other reasons why chumras can be where they come from. What I'm saying is that, generally speaking, is there room to say, I want to be machne when there's a given a thing. And this is what I just wanted to show you from this Rosh again, and that is like this. What does that mean? We hold, his Loshen, we hold like Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi, even though the halacha doesn't go like that. So how, what do you mean, we hold? I think the answer is like this, because you're right. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is a deraisa, 100%. Yeah? It's a deraisa. Yeah? But the cloning of Pesach, are those all deraisa? Was it given at Sinai, the Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua? Was that given at Sinai? No. Presumably not. Chazal, especially, I don't know what the Rosh holds the Gabbard is, but if you say Sofik Deraisa the Chumra is Derabonon, Machlokes Ram Rashi supposed to be spoken about, then for sure, all these calling are Derabonon. So in which case, therefore, Bizman, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer would have said, I'm following my Shitta. Rabbi Yeshua will follow his Shitta, Rabbi Eliezer follows his Shitta. In subsequent Deiros, then we have a club. Right? Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua, that looks like Rabbi Yeshua. So, Bidera Club, you have no right to do like Rabbi Eliezer. And if you do like Rabbi Eliezer, you're not Yotzei. I think you're telling me Rabbi Eliezer was not a Yotzei. I'm not saying that. Rabbi Eliezer had every right to do that. Because there was no club that fixed the halacha at that point. Rabbi Eliezer learned it his way, and he did azoi. Rabbi Yeshua did it his way. It's like the I think I mentioned this about the Rabbi Natan versus Rashi. You know the question everyone asked? Rabbi Natan versus Rashi Tefillin. Right? Yeah. Got this big machlokes, Rabbi Natan and Rashi. Why didn't anyone just go and check the Tefillin from three generations back? What's so difficult? I have a difference of opinion. Open them up. Why do you have to wait till today, 2,000 years later, whatever it is, and they start finding the Tefillin from Masada and all these places? Yeah. And why didn't they do it at that time? What's so difficult? No one knew what the Masorah was. It's your sort of question, no, right? How can Rabbi Natan and Rashi have such a... The answer, to my mind, is poshut. Absolutely poshut. And that is 100%. Rashi didn't come along and machadish a new shitter in his day. Rabbi Yitzchak was machadish a new shitter. Both practices were prevalent. Now the question is, which one's correct? So Rashi comes along and he learned the Gemara in the Nachlet and he learned it Azoita. Ah, this practice is correct. The Rabbi Yitzchak comes along two generations later, right? He looks and he says, no, this is the way to learn the Gemara. He has a whole bundle of questions on Rashi, so he learns Azoita. Right? How do we pass it? So therefore, Rashi would have done like Rashi. Rabbi Yitzchak would have done like Rabbi Yitzchak. Is anyone going to suggest Rabbi Yitzchak never wore tefillin? Absolutely not. As much as we wouldn't suggest people before that, you know, that they didn't wear tefillin. Because that was, each one had their school, Eidu, Dereira, Kim Chai, etc. Once there was Niskabel in later Doros, through the Rishonim, etc., all the way through to Shulchan Aruch, that Rashi, the halacha of that Rashi, there's nothing to talk about. So that's it, finished. After they cast the gong, says it's a waste of time to put on Rabbi Yitzchak. You know that, right?
The Rav said we should try and...
I know. The Rav Chaim Volozhin asked the Gaon, he said, like, Bishlam for you, you wear tefillin all day anyway. So if you put on Rabbi Natan, the time when you're putting on Rabbi Natan is going to be taking away from the time that you could have been wearing Rashi. So for that, for those few moments, I can understand you want to... I don't wear tefillin all day anyway, so what's it going to harm? I might as well put on Rabbi Natan. So the Gaon said to that, he said, fine, you want to do that. You need to get 32 different versions, 32, 64 pairs of tefillin. We're going to try and be at every shitter. It's not just Rabbi Natan and Rashi. You've got a whole bundle of other different permutations there, whether Parshiyas Hazoi, or standing up, lying down, what the order is, how you do the Pesuchas Stumman, all the different things. You've got a whole...
And the combinations of permutations.
Then. That's what I'm saying. All of them, you've got to put them into all the things. And she says, well, if you're going to try and cuff every shitter, then we don't do that. But what does that mean to say? So halacha is like Rashi. So what? The Rabbi Natan didn't. He made brachas on our today. You never trust for chalidus to make a bracha on Rabbi Natan, even if you do put it on, right? It's a good thing to put them on, right? It's a good thing to put them on, but not with the bracha. We don't do it with the bracha, right? What, he made a chas for chalidus? Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. Same thing. I know I'm repeating what I've probably already told you, but I think they're just such important yisodas. There was somebody recently. Again, I'm not going to say the name. Either you do know or you don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody who became more and more inclined into call it science and Torah, etc. And he started coming out with some very, very controversial views. I think Imuk Timogor Chabat Torah, Gabi Maisa Bereshis, and things like that, all sorts of. And the Maisa, he was, I don't know if he, but his work was put in Chayim, right? And he was very, very upset about it. He said, what I'm saying is not my own things. I think Avram Rambam, I think it was one. And he said, look, they've got sources. Do you call it the NLP Kurds? Well, you call it then the... Right. If he's allowed to say it, why can't I say it? So, I think it was Ramesh Shapiro said, he said, no, for him to say it was absolutely fine. For you to say it is up your crosses. Well, what's Bishal? Bishal's the same as what we're saying now. Bizman, Rabin, Abram, Ben, Aramba. Fine, it was a machalik, it's like any other machalikas. That doesn't make it up your crosses. Fine, there was difference of opinion, that's it. But once it's gone through the door, when a certain thing becomes discoverable, not by me or you, by Gedolim as they've worked it through, doesn't mean we'll label anything in the past. Up until today, that was fine. But from this point onwards, no. Right? And that's what you find shocking things in Poskim, the Gabe, at Hayom, these tefillin were fine. From this point onwards, the Ben Ishchai brings from his grandfather, they couldn't make any better tefillin than this. But they were round. They were round. Remember we described it? They were round. He said, but we couldn't puzzle those. If we puzzled them, no one would have any tefillin where we live. So when craftsmen came, were able to teach people the how to do it, he made an announcement. From today onwards, these tefillin are possible. Before this, chas v'chalila, we're not suggesting. It's a bit different, I realize that case is a bit different, but there is such a mussar. Now here comes the chiddush. Let's come back to the Rosh. And that is that I'm suggesting that the Rosh says like this. We have the right over here, since all these rules and everything, that's the Rabbanon are putting into place, where we pass in our zoe, where we pass in our zoe. They can say, but still, hey, Kriya, if it's a borrowed option, even the guy with Kriya Shema, which is a Zohar item. But because, either because of the Tzodah, or because of the thing with the Tzibur, they won't come back, whatever it is, they have the right to say that we still hold like Rabbi Eliezer, even though Be'etzem, the halacha should be like Rabbi Yeshua versus Rabbi Eliezer. But we hold like Rabbi Eliezer. We're still almost holding at that stage where it hasn't actually been thrust out. He never said He never said that we are suggesting the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. I can't say that because Zichet's not. What we are suggesting is we have the right to follow Rabbi Eliezer because we follow like Rabbi Eliezer. We're not, in other words, we haven't given a ruling that says that's it, Rabbi Eliezer's out. Once we give that ruling, you have no right to follow Rabbi Eliezer.
But in that case, it's because of the problem of Tuchel and Tibor.
I realize there's a ruling
that really exists till this very day.
And that's why you'll find it's a Morgan Avraham Mortaz, I think he's one of the two,
yeah.
Who says, Hayyim Azeh, if you do them before Nacht, your Yotzei Kriyat Shema, 100%, just each Yochid should be Machmir on himself to read it again after Nacht.
That's essentially what we do today.
Yeah, but he says as a yok is a chumrah. A chumrah. That all those who disagree.
So they were kavir halacha in that particular case, even though it was against Rabbi Eliezer.
I realize, but what do you mean? I should be machmir on myself, have I been yet or not? The answer is again. But actually, the klal of halacha should give me a psak, you're not yet or not. Yeah. No, but because Chazal, sort of, as it were, kept that shit still alive, not saying halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. I'm not saying halacha like Rabbi Eliezer.
I understand that.
I'm saying that his lashon is we can say we hold the like Rabbi Eliezer.
Effectively today, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer because everybody that well they don't know they've done before. I was about Minchin Ma'ariv, the Tzadik Sasser. You talking about that refers to that as well?
Yeah. Okay. That isn't so sure because they have the right to do that. That's what it's all going on.
So it's not a problem about Rabbi Pasna.
It's more like this lotion of I realize it's the other way around. I realize that. But it's almost the same lotion that like we're following our shitter. No, we're not saying that halacha follows up.
They weren't doing
the clone of halacha. That's what Rabbi Gamliel should be right. But we have the right. We have the right to follow our shitter.
In this case, they weren't doing it for the tzibur at all. They just didn't.
I realize. Even for yourself. That's not the whole principle of chumras, I don't think it existed in the past way it does today.
Baruch was making this point a few days ago.
There is such a thing. It's become today much. Again, there could be very good reasons like this. Also, there could be reasons for it, right? There are. I've quoted in the past that there is in the Kaf HaChaim brings in the Netiyah Tzomer is gem, an absolute gem. Mm-hmm. He says that somebody who has a Netiyah to chumras. It shows that his tikkun ha-nefesh. It's not pshat, he just jumps on the bandwagon. Because it shows a certain, maybe because what you're saying.
It's a positive tikkun
ha-nefesh. Yeah, a positive thing. Not that every single chumrah that I can find in the book I jump on. You will find, I'm telling you, it's something that you've learned, you spent time and you've worked on, you spent years in a certain area. It's natural you will feel a certain, I want to take on more chumrahs. Because that's my baby. That's my, for what? Is that a halacha like that? No, maybe because I want to make more safeguards, I want to feel I'm doing something. I don't know what exactly it is, but it shows a certain connection to
like
it.
Like you said, tikkun, something that he did in the previous.
One of my brothers, right, he said somebody once said to him, he says, you know, you're being machmir with regards to something, you're being machmir. Are you just machmir when it comes to anything else? He says, Tzitzaki, he was thinking to himself, he's got a personal point. It's a fair point. But it's posh why that is. If that's your area, that's what you spend day and night, this is my baby, this is what, it's natural that a person will feel a certain.
For the civil, when you're writing.
So I read it, no, this is something else, so there's a,
okay.
Anyway, that was that thought.
I'm still confused with the comparison, because when we had these Rabbonim on the ship, and they said, we want to be machmir for ourselves, we're going to save the Daladamas. They weren't doing anything, they were just sitting.
I realised that the same as I've told you in the past, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to. Person Chayv Nisif on a Beis Shammai, even though I'm not doing anything which Beis Hillel would say I'm not allowed to do. Comes the one Kriyat Shema tonight, right? So when it comes to Kriyat Shema, I sit down. Why? That's what Beis Shammai say, Uva Shach Bocha, you've got to do it sitting down. So I'm going to lie down when I say Kriyat Shema. Beis Hillel say, you can do whatever you want, standing up, lying down. So why is what we say B'chalam Masayim Onan? What difference? If I lie down, Beis Hillel don't say I'm not Yotzei. So why are I chat Beis Shammai as well? Says the Gemara, a person would be chayav misa for doing such a thing. If you happen to be sitting down, you don't have to get up. But you're not allowed to sit down to say Kriya Shema to try and chat Beis Shammai. Why? Because again, it's not a free for all. If you're doing it to chat Beis Shammai, once the halacha has been decided that Beis Shammai b'mokum Beis Hillel eino mishnah, despite the fact Beis Shammai elevated the Vedekim Chaim and we're told in the future Beis Shammai is going to be dialogue, fantastic.
That's not what I mean. If you're doing the the Beis Shammai, you're going to lie down, you're actually doing something. And if you follow, say, I'm following Beis Hillel, but by not moving, you're not going against what Beis Hillel says. You just happened not to be moving. You're not taking.
I realise, but if you say I'm doing it because.
Correct. So it's by the saying is, I feel, is more problematic than the actual.
Okay,
action.
But the idea, one thing is the idea, if, and this is something we have to get into our bones, once halacha decides something, I've quoted this so many times, Sui used to say,
reform,
it's reform.
Yeah, I remember that.
He said, to make up your own chumras, because, why? I want, that's what I want to do, yeah? I've got a clip of Menachem Davidovich, the kind of the bracha, right? It was the Abiyavos of Sotrim. It was 30 years ago. Right? And on there, he's bemoaning the fact that he gave his parashiyos to be checked by well-known Magia. And he came back, and the Magia wasn't happy with stuff. In fact, I'm going to. And basically, Rabbi Nachman Davidovich was arguing with him, and he said, well, where'd you get that from? Ich will. That's what I want. That's what I want to. And he's been mentioning that, he says, I used to give my parashiyos to your father, the father of this Magia, for over 10 years, and not once did he ever say anything about this, right? And he's been mentioning, he's showing sources for it, and he keeps going, he says, I want. I didn't quite cut what he was saying at that time, but he's saying like, Naya Torahs, you can't make up your own Torahs. If the halacha is unsoy, then that's halacha, finished. Chumras can only come about where the shitter still has legs on which to stand. Halacha does though, but there's a halacha to be machmir. Beis Shammai doesn't, for halacha purposes, doesn't exist.
So
then a person comes along and says, I want to be choshish for Beis Shammai, that is, it's reform. That's why Chumras says it's not Torah in our times. That's something else. But you're creating a new Torah. That's not Torah Hashem. So one has to know when a Chumrah has a Mokum, like Mr. Israel said, if the Chumrah is there because I want a certain safeguard, 100%. The person's going to be very careful with safeguards if that happens, because Olam HaRishon also tried to make a safeguard. Look what happened. So there's plenty written on that subject when safeguards are.
Kind of written to the Gorea.
Correct. Sometimes, yeah, but not again, a person has to know. But potentially, that's
kind of
who has got. No, there's Olam. There's Olam.
I don't know if Chumrah said, you shouldn't touch it.
Yeah, but why does she say that?
Because Adam told her.
Oh, Chazal tell us. Adam told her that. And Chazal therefore say, look what Adam did. You can explain to her why. He did it as a safeguard, but she didn't realise. And then the snake pushed her to touch the thing. Then you see, nothing happened. She didn't realise that wasn't part of the actual thing. All I'm saying is, that sometimes there can be a mock for a chum, but just the idea that that's just what I want. The Ezra could be reformed. You're making up your own Torah.
So when people want to be as all the shittas, it's going to be in a situation where the halacha has not been fully established, all the shittas which can still...
A shitta which is still, it may not be the normative halacha.
In place.
And that's why we find, that's why the Gemara says, Kedai, the Moshul, Kedai Rabbi Shimon is Mechol HaBishar HaSadacha. Rabbi Shimon is Kedai to be Semechon HaBishar HaSadacha. What does that mean? And Shalom HaBishar HaSadacha? No, you wouldn't be Yotze. So B'Shamah says, I'm Yotze if I rely on him.
Yeah, that's what
I was saying. Could I be B'Shamah to be Senechon and B'Shamah says, the answer is no. Because B'Shamah is out. Rabbi Shimon is Peshat, we don't pass him on that. But the Shittah is still there. That is, it's a very, very fine, very, very fine line. Okay. The other thing with that was really what I... That was just from that place. We finished the study now. There was just that one question on the Rosh. I don't know if anyone had any further thoughts. I'm not going to go through the Rosh. I checked. I think it's more or less everything we've done. So I don't feel there's just for the sake of it. If anyone wants notes on the general subject of travel, maybe you can let me know. I can give it separately. Halacha lemaisa about ships. Maybe. Based on yes or not, because I don't know if it's going to reach my interest. It's quite a bit there. I don't know. Okay, well maybe yes, maybe we'll
do a summary.
Maybe we'll do a summary. But no, what I wanted to know is anyone got Peshat in the Rosh? That was the only thing we ended up with. No. There's one that I read out, which is that the Rosh says these people who come, these people who come onto the ship before Shabbos, they light candles, set up the hot plates, and then they go home. He says, according to their shitter, that they think, because otherwise when they arrive on Shabbos, they're not going to have to walk the whole ship, so then it's a waste of time. Why? He says, because his lotion is? Because it doesn't work to be Kohen Shvi'is on a ship which is going to be moving the next day.
Unless you're there at the time.
Yeah? The Markiniya Shvi'isa Shaykh, what's a Shaykh to be Kohen Shvi'is on a ship? It's going to be leaving there going outside the Tzfor. Yeah? So he said, what do you mean? In fact, I thought today, it's fair as the motion of the Moshe, the Bengal Kibbutz and the Moshe. He said, what is this? What do you mean? But we all know, if you get on a ship, and you're on the ship, and there's rubble, right? Shabbos?
You can be Shabbos. I mean, how can you do it?
What's going on over here? I mean, it doesn't make any difference if you get off the boat or not. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean you can't be Kohen Shvi'isa? I can be Kohen Shvi'isa on a ship.
Yeah, but if you get out of a ship, it's a different tum, like I said.
Now why? So you said yesterday that Agoy Tashri says, and they bring it from Mordechai as well, that the pshat is, that if you stay on the ship through Bein HaShemashis, then fine, 100% you're Kohen. But if you just put your food there and go, that's not going to work. Now people were asking yesterday, why?
Because if I put
my food in the shul here, right, from my Erev Tikkunin, I've got the whole shul is my Mokum Shvi'isa. And therefore I've got 2,000 Amos from the outer perimeter of the shul. I'm assuming it was in the middle of nowhere, right? It wasn't in a town. Yeah? For sure, I don't have to be in the shul. You're going to tell me because the shul's not going anywhere. But a ship is moving. Ah. So since the ship is going to move, it's not going to work on the ship. But if I'm on there, then it does work. Right, what's the...
If the
boat's not moving, it's not going to move till tomorrow. No, it's okay. It sounds like when we get to the sugyas, with the person and stuff, and I know we touched on it already, but the food. Have to see if there's any more. Try and bear in mind this rosh because it's obviously a big yisoy. But it sounds like the water. It sounds like the bottom. If you are there in person, then this is my mokum, the ship is my mokum, this is my mokum shvi'isa. If you simply put down food, it's a location. What I mean to say is, your location is not the ship, because the ship is not staying here. Your location is the coordinates on the seabed, basically. That is your mokum, and since the seabed doesn't have any mechitzas around it, you're going to have damage from that mokum. Okay. If you are there in person, it's not just a location, it's not just a coordinates on a map. If you are in the ship, then the ship becomes your mokum, shvi'isa.
I think we did say that it is better for you to be there than designated.
Could be.
I thought we said that.
There are sort of in the Kana Rukam, but again, normally speaking, it's not going to make any difference. As long as the food stays, then the food stays. Because you're not normally putting it on something that moves about. But with a ship, there is Vol brought to Svara which said, Bechal, it's not Shaykh, that was within Rabbi Akiva, Bechal, it's not Shaykh to be Kohen Shvi'is on the ship. Even if you're there yourself, because it's never made there to stay there to stop. Fine. Kanireh, he's understanding, even you in person,
can't do it.
So it'd be, it has to be the coordinates of the ground. But we're saying, La Halacha, the way the Rosh is bringing it is, the difference whether it's food, you're not there. No boss, the fact that I put my food there, that gives me coordinates on the map. Well, that's not on the ship, because the ship's going. It's the coordinates are on the floor. Yeah. If you're there in person, it works differently. Simply because, look, this is where I'm sitting. My mokum is around my body.
There in person for how long? Because
Till Shabbos comes in. Once Shabbos comes in, the Rosh says you can get off the boat. My Rosh Hashri says you can get off the boat. Okay. La halacha not necessarily so, but the reason why you can't, the machaber holds you can't get off the boat and come back on. Why?
I said you can't come on Shabbos.
You can't get onto a boat on Shabbos. That's the reason. The Ramah says he's more open than that. Yeah?
How
can
you
pass
on that? Can you get on
which
Nikola? Getting on boat on Shabbos or off a boat on Shabbos.
Tomorrow's ship we'll cover that. The halacha might be the end of the swimming, okay? Yeah. So Bez Hashem, we finally got there. If you want a little bit of halacha, I'll try and keep it.
It's interesting.
No, because Rishon Ches is quite a big one. We did it in Shabbos. you can refer back to the shirin there if you want it in a
okay.
Well, on the time we'll find it for you.
They go to these different places, they might stop in different places in Shabbos.